Appreciate Jacob blaming it on the weather for our low attendance tonight. But we're all here, and that's good. And as he mentioned, this is our custom. For those of you who are visiting with us, first Wednesday night of each month, we have one of the men speak. And so it's my turn to do that tonight. We got a few more slots. We had several sign up at the last time when Wes mentioned it, and we had a few sign up, so we're good for the next couple of months, I think. But if you're willing to do that and able, check that out and see if you can take one of those opportunities. So Gary, who's not here tonight, approached me about a week before February the 1st, which was our last Wednesday night, and said, "Hey, I'm not going to be here. You want to swap?" I said, "Let me think about that." Yes. It didn't take me long. I appreciate him doing that because he knew he wouldn't be here. He had already signed up to do March. And so he crunched his time to do a lesson and gave me more time to prepare for mine, and I appreciate that. So with that being said, I also want to give credit to some of the material that we'll go over tonight. I want to give credit to Brother Mark Copeland, who's the evangelist at the Fortune Road Church in Kissimmee, Florida. So I want to talk a little bit about relationships as we begin. There's a lot of relationships that we have in life that are special. Family relationships, friends, co-workers. And I think, and this is where we'll focus most of our time tonight, one of the most unique relationships we have is between parents and children. It is one of, if not the critical path to our being pleasing to God, both for us and our children, is how the emphasis that we place on that relationship as they grow up. God said this about Abraham in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. In one of the early passages about the life of Abraham, God said, "For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." And of course, God was referring to the promises that he had made to Abraham of land and descendants and blessings eventually that would come to all families of the earth through Christ. Our lives are really filled with special moments with our children. From the time they're born, a bond should grow in love and respect through instruction and discipline. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. We celebrate their birthdays, go to their ball games. We take them on vacations, we go to the graduation, we pay for their weddings, on and on. And we celebrate when they start their own families. Also, as years go by, you know, our children become adults and we enter our twilight years. And one day, hopefully, our children are at our side when our days come to an end. And sometimes these conversations can reveal something we never knew. Maybe some final words of wisdom or some final wishes. Some of these scenes are recorded in Scripture for us. For example, turn with me to Genesis chapter 47, and you'll see an idea of what I'm talking about. Genesis chapter 47, and in beginning in verse 29. Genesis 47, verses 29 and 30. When the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, "Now, if I have found favor in your sight, please put your hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Please do not bury me in Egypt, but let me lie with my fathers. You shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place." And he said, talking about his son, I will do as you have said." So, you know, I'm sure maybe this hand under the thigh was a custom of their time and maybe their ethnicity. And we have, you know, it's just, but it's really just a father and son together. Together at that time in their lives. So, you know, as we say sometimes, if it's in Scripture, there's a reason and there's a lesson. And I believe that such is the case for us where we're going to turn our attention now, and that's in 1 Kings chapter 2. So I invite you to join me there now in 1 Kings chapter 2. You may know the setting. As we're turning there, David is with his son Solomon, the son of Bathsheba. And it is the occasion where David is near death. So as chapter 1 comes to a close, we learn that King David has anointed his son Solomon. He had many sons. But he's chosen Solomon to succeed him as king. And as chapter 2 begins, I think there's a lesson for us to learn, and especially to us as men. And it's not just grown men, young men too. I think there's something in here for you as well. So I want you to pay close attention as we work our way through this. 1 Kings chapter 2, and beginning in verse 1. Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. So, can you see yourself there in this emotional setting? I was there with my dad, and I'm sure many in the audience tonight have been beside a loved one in similar circumstances. So here's the title of our lesson tonight, Prove Yourself a Man. So let's think about this idea, understand why it's important, find some applications that would apply to us as husbands and fathers, and husbands-to-be and fathers-to-be. So first of all, let's stay with the context, and let's just see what David goes on to say in this setting, beginning in verse 3. And we'll read down through verse 3, I believe. Keep the charge. This is after he said, prove yourself a man. So he's going to give him, here's some hows. Here's how you do that. Keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. There's six sermons in that one verse. But I'll let Bob do that. So who better to think about? So where do we turn, or who do we think about to kind of flesh this lesson out? We know that Solomon was a very wise man. He's the recipient of this charge from his father at this time. So we're going to spend a good bit of time, or part of our lesson anyway, in the book of Proverbs and hear from Solomon himself on how he went about doing just this. So, for example, what would Solomon say to us today? What has he said? What's been recorded for us in Scripture that would help us do just this ourselves, to prove ourselves to be men? So we're going to think about it from the standpoint of giving heed or paying close attention to certain things, being cautious about certain things. So first of all, we're going to explore the idea of giving heed to our counselors. First of all, we must fear God. So let's turn over to Proverbs now, and we'll, like I said, several of our scriptures will be from Proverbs, and so we'll turn away from that a couple of times, but we're going to go right now to Proverbs chapter 1. You're going to beat me there, probably. So Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, fearing God, it is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. In verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We've heard that all our lives. It's one of the well-known texts from Proverbs chapter 1. We must have a healthy respect for God, and that's the fear part. And then look over in chapter 9, Proverbs chapter 9 and in verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We start with the respect that God deserves, and we develop that into wisdom as we understand His Word and as we grow in our faith. If we don't have that respect, if we don't have that healthy fear, might as well just quit, because nothing else really matters if we don't start with that. By doing that, we prolong our days. This will be a familiar passage to you as well. We're going to stay right here in Proverbs chapter 10 this time, and in verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Anybody that doesn't understand that one? It seems pretty plain to me. Have the proper respect. And when you do that, and we'll develop this more as we work our way into the lesson, that drives so much of your behavior. When you have God in His right place and you have the proper amount of respect for Him. Chapter 14. And in verse 26, Proverbs 14 and verse 26 and 27. In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and His children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Therefore, let's make sure that God and His Word, we take heed to that as being our counselor. Listen to our parents. How many times have we heard that one? And this is kind of where I'm talking to the younger ones in the group. If you want to learn how to be a man, listen to your godly parents. They do, contrary to your belief at times, they do offer loving advice. So, again in Proverbs, back to chapter 1. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be graceful ornaments on your head and chains about your neck. And, let's see. Also, a very similar reading in Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 20. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 20. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. So benefit, take advantage at an early age of the wisdom that you get from your parents. Watch the way they do things. We're not perfect, but if we're trying to do the things that we're talking about tonight, then we will be a positive influence on you. And you can learn from our mistakes. We will make them. And you can pick up on that and perhaps be a better man than we were. So, moving along with this idea of giving heed to our counselors, you know, we can get bad counsel, and we do. So beware of evil companions, because nothing but destruction and corruption is awaiting us if we don't do that. Back in Proverbs chapter 1, in verse 10, Proverbs chapter 1 and in verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. And skipping on down to verse 14, they even will say, cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. People trying to get you to do evil. So beware of evil companions. And in chapter 13, still staying in Proverbs, chapter 13 and in verse 20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. And then the familiar passage from the New Testament, from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. We don't believe it when we're young, but if we stick with it, try to be the kind of people that we're supposed to be, you know what we figure out? It's right. That's what happens when you have evil companions. I've said to one of my sons, evil wins out over good almost every time when it comes to friends. If you're going to try to keep the wrong kinds of friends, 99 times out of 100, they're going to sway you their way instead of the opposite way around. So the best thing to do is just pick out your friends right here. So, next section in what we need to give heed to, and that is our goals in life. So we talked about this a little bit a moment ago, about seeking wisdom and understanding. That has to be our goal. We must seek both. And in Proverbs chapter 2, we'll read verses 1 through 9. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ears to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. A lot of promises in those verses. And God keeps his promises, as we know. And to continue the reading, and picking up in verse 10, but we'll just read a couple of verses from this section. It protects you from evil ones when you have this knowledge, when you have this wisdom, and you have this understanding. Verse 10 of chapter 2, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, and let's skip down to verse 12, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, and then in verse 16, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. This is another way we can prove ourselves to be men, is we stay away from evil folks, men and women alike. It is a tree of life. It is the source of our blessings. And in Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 13, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you may desire cannot compare with her. And the passage goes on to talk more about how the blessings that we can have through wisdom and understanding. Our goal also must include an acknowledgement of God's role in our life. We have to trust Him, fear Him, and honor Him. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. And then continuing the reading there in verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. We must understand that God plays the most, not just a important role, the important role in our lives. Also, from a goal perspective, there will be times when we're corrected. Proverbs chapter 3, still in verse 11. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as the Father, the Son, in whom He delights. So how does God chasten us today? I don't know, but I know it happens. And probably in this audience, there are folks that can look back in life and see, you know, God, I can see God, His fingerprints all over that. I'm going to share one with you. I'm doing good on time. So several years ago, when we still lived over here in River Chase, the cable company came out, ran a new line from the street. Some of y'all have been through this before. A year later, they show up, they're going to bury it. Right? So, nobody works for the cable company, I hope. Anyway, now they ran a new line. We had an underground fence for the dog. And I knew when they came to bury it, they overlapped. And I knew what would happen. So put a sign on the garage door, cable company. Call, do not bury the line before you call me. Red letters. Can't miss it. One day, they came, they buried the cable. And the underground fence quit working. So, you know, I get in touch with them. And I knew, I'm going to have to fix this, right? I mean, they're not going to come out here. They're not going to fix this for me. I'm going to have to fix it. So I did, and that meant pulling cables up, finding it. I didn't know how many places they had cut it, but I think it was three or four places, and splashed it all back together, got it working. So in the meantime, I'm being ugly to Charter and saying, you know, y'all gotta fix this. Y'all gonna have to do something. You're gonna have to give me a credit on my bill. This is just not right. This is not good customer service. I had a sign out there. We're working with you, Mr. Holcomb. We're gonna make it right. So one day, young man shows up on my front porch. Open the door. He introduces himself. And in the meantime, I had arrived at a number, $200. I felt like that was, based on the time that was spent, that this is a fair number. Young man shows up at my door, has $200 cash in his hand. He hands it to me. Introduces himself. He didn't speak English. Couldn't read English. Couldn't read my sign. But he did his job. He did what he was sent to my house to do. So, you know, hey, I'm taking the money, right? that afternoon, we're running an errand. I run over a spike about that big, and I mean, immediately I know the tire is, I have maybe enough time to get somewhere. Anybody want to take a guess on what that new tire cost me? $200. The same day. I mean, was that chastening? Yeah, I think it was. I hope I learned a lesson from that. Because looking back on it, this guy was just trying to work hard. That probably was his paycheck for the week. And he was a subcontractor. He was not an employee. But he came out there and made it right. So, there's my chastening story. I appreciate you indulging me to share that with you. He is first. I mentioned that a moment ago. He is first. That is the role that He plays in our lives. From Matthew 6, the Sermon on the Mount, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The words of Jesus. Words that we must adhere to. All right, let's move on to our third topic. To give heed to our character. Very important in being able to prove ourselves to be a man. We must avoid laziness because it can foster poverty. Proverbs chapter 10 and in verse 4. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. So we need to be busy men. We need to stay away from being a sluggard, as we learn from other scriptures in Proverbs. And stay busy with our family, with our studies, with things relating to our spiritual lives. And along with this idea, we need to remain diligent. And we'll turn over to the New Testament this time in Romans. Romans chapter 12. And beginning in verse 9, Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. That needs to be one of the hallmarks of our character, is being diligent. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. Stay busy. We also have to recognize abomination and understand what that can do to our character. Back in Proverbs, in chapter 6, this will be a familiar passage to you, I'm sure. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes. Seven are an abomination to Him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. That's an easy list to follow. Maybe a little harder to stay away from at times, but there's a recipe right there, is things that we can do and stay away from and know that we're going to be pleasing to God. And as a side note here, I don't know if anybody else has ever thought of it this way, but I've always thought about it in this way. There's six things the Lord hates, and seven, or number seven, as I wonder sometimes if that's what it meant, number seven is an abomination to Him. So you got these six things. Lord hates all of them. But number seven is really an abomination. That's sowing discord among the brethren. That's just an Allenism. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but for what that's worth, I just wanted to share that with you, just an idea. So, we know We know what we need to do to be pleasing to the Father. When we give heed to our counselors, when we give heed to our goals, and we know what's important, and we put first things first, and we pay attention to and give the utmost heed to our character, who we are, who will we become, who are we going to listen to, and what will we do when we find ourselves in certain situations. So I'm going to leave you with some observations. Being a father and a husband that God expects us to be is not easy. All of us in here that are fathers and husbands, we know that. It takes work. It takes time. It takes discipline. It takes perseverance. The easiest thing is to do nothing. The easiest thing is just to go with the flow and just think everything's going to work out eventually with our kids. It does not work that way. I know when you take too much of a hands-off approach, that doesn't work, especially from a father's perspective. So, we're going to walk through a list together. I don't have Scripture up here for any of these. Every one of them is supported by Scripture. These are thoughts that I just wanted to share with you. And one of them is be a father, don't be a buddy. And what I mean by that is you must, as a father, set and demand clear expectations and accountability based on Scripture. Your children have to understand that we're being held responsible. We and our wives will be held responsible by the Lord on how we execute the responsibilities of being a father and being a husband. We must teach our children to understand that principle. Secondly, teach biblical principles to our children inside and outside the home. Prepare your children for Bible class, and this is Wednesday night. I'm kind of sort of preaching to the choir, mostly. But that's something that generation after generation, people can improve on. Parents can improve on, regardless of the age of your children. I don't care if they're in high school. And they're self-sufficient in a lot of ways. Do their Bible lesson with them. Make sure they're prepared when they come to class. It means praying with them as well, obviously. It means administering proper discipline when needed, and yes, that does include spankings. Despite popular opinion, our civilization has not evolved to the point that we don't need to do that anymore just because it was in the Bible and that's old-fashioned. They do get older, and the discipline can take on different forms. I found that as a high school senior, driving an old minivan to school was very effective for one of my sons. It brought about a little humility. So just one thing I thought I would share with you as well. Don't be afraid to tell them no. Tell them no when they need to be told no. And teach them why the answer is no. Teach them to respect because I said so. That doesn't need to always be the answer, but sometimes it's enough to say because I said so. And if we're being the father that we need to be, it will work. It will be a sufficient answer. Tell them yes. Teach your children to appreciate the answer yes and respect the answer no. All we got to do is go to any store, anywhere, and we see the results of children who are never told no. And if you wait too long, it won't work. You must start that at an early age. And I don't remember where I heard this, but I've remembered it through the years, and I think it makes sense about yes and no. A child respects the answer no when he or she is told yes from time to time. Let me repeat that. A child respects the answer no when he or she is told yes from time to time. Conversely, a child appreciates the answer yes when they're told no from time to time. Does that make sense? When they're being told yes when they should be and being told no when they should be, it'll work. Know who your children's friends are. But it is, my children, they didn't escape the age of social media. But this task as a parent is enormously harder, in my opinion, now, because they've got the world in their hands on their phone. The world is available right there. We didn't grow up that way. But that's what parents of today have to contend with. Tell your son that he can't go there with that crowd. No ifs, ands, or buts when that needs to be said. Tell your daughter. Let me go on to the next point. Teach them modesty. Tell your daughter or son that you can't wear that. Don't argue with me. This is where that part of parenting can become difficult. This is where it can be easier just to go with the flow and say, well, they're going to outgrow that. But we have to instill those principles all along the way, because if we don't, those things will follow them into adulthood. So let me tell you about Trouble Street. Bob's mentioned this before. Anybody ever been on Trouble Street? You're standing on the street corner, you look up there at the road, at the name of the street, it says Trouble. So you go down the sidewalk. And here's a mailbox, 666 Trouble Street. You go up and you knock on the door. Who's going to answer the door? Trouble. Every time. So teach your children what I call about, teach them about Trouble Street. Stay off of it. So many things, so many heartaches could be avoided if we maybe just put a little extra effort in. Does it work every time? No. Will it happen if we don't do it? No. So what should we choose to do? So one day, I've told Landon this before, one day your children are going to thank you. I've got a Father's Day card in the back of my Bible. I'll probably keep it there from now on. I've got it in writing where I was told, thank you for telling me this and telling me that. I wasn't perfect. I got it wrong sometimes. But they will thank you. I'm confident of that. You do it right, when they get older, they're going to understand it. They're going to know the sacrifices that you made and the hard work and the decisions that you had to make, the tough decisions that you had to make, the times you told them no, they're going to start understanding why. And I can't leave this subject without talking about the other important component of, I'll get to that on the next point, kind of. Yes, put the needs of your family above your own. At my house, this is called Dad Comes Last. And what that means is your children come first, your wife comes first, whatever's left over, that's for Dad. And the beautiful thing about that, in my opinion, is when it works that way, number one, that's the way God designed it. When it works that way, Dad feels really like he's in first place because he knows he's doing what the Lord wants him to do. So put the needs of your family above your own and help your wife at home. I've been talking about kids a lot. Can't leave out our wives. You know, when we come home from work and there's supper and we sit down and we enjoy a meal, don't go plop down on the couch. A lot of these things I'm saying tonight are from experience, right? Help your wife clean up around the house. Do those things that give you and her more time together. You know, she's, in a lot of cases, she's been working all day too, you know, not just you. So let God's Word that's been passed down and preserved and proven by generations of fathers and sons be our guide to proving ourselves a man. So I'm going to circle back to where we began, David and Solomon, together as David is nearing his death. So almost 2 years ago, my dad was sick. Several of you know that. And I was fortunate to be able to spend a lot of time with him. He had a very brief illness. He was in the hospital 2 weeks, went home for 2 weeks on hospice care, and that was it. But thankfully, I was able to spend, like I said, a good bit of time with him during those 4 weeks. And one of the things that he said to me during that time, because he knew his time was drawing near, that he was going to die, just like David, where we read a moment ago. He said something to me that I'll always remember. He said, "When it gets close, just tell me. Don't give me false hope. I'm ready." And I know that really we all want to be able to say that tonight before we leave, that we're ready. So ask yourself the question now as we bring the sermon to a close, am I ready? You know, we talk about this every time we're together. Every time. One of these times, it will be the last time that we talk about it. It'll be the last time that we have an opportunity to be ready. So if you're not a Christian and you're here tonight, chances are you know what you need to do. I mean, I look out over the audience, and those of you that have been paying attention, those of you that come to Bible class, you know what you need to do. Maybe you don't want to do it right now. Maybe you want to do it when there's not as big a crowd. That's common. That's fine. Any of us here would be more than happy to help you through that. The baptistry works. We know. We finally got to try it out for the first time with Riley. We can do it again. We can fill it up with warm water. And you could be baptized and you could be ready. Maybe you did that years ago. And since that time, you know, you just haven't been the man you should be or the woman you should be. We can fix that too. We can pray with you. And that's what we want to do. We all want to be able to leave here tonight saying we're ready. So if you need to do something, I'll be standing right down here. Come to the front while we stand and sing. All right.